Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Nashville enjoyed a much-needed bye week this past weekend, but results around the league benefited the team greatly. We talk about this and our newest roster addition here on Speedway Soccer Pod. Hey everybody, welcome back to this episode of Speedway Soccer Pod. We're broadcasting here live from Alley Taps on Historic Printer's Alley. As always, we're proud to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network and the Beautiful Game Network, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Gold Press. I am here with
Ben Wright,
John Sloop.
Well, guys, it's a smaller group for us this week, but also we don't really have a game to talk about. There was a lot of results around the league that kind of fell their way. But I don't think coming into this, when we scheduled talking today, we didn't know we were going to be talking about new player acquisition. So I'm going to turn it over to Ben, who was actually at practice this morning. He's going to talk through, you know, kind of who we picked up today.
Yeah, so earlier today, Monday, Nashville SC announced that they had signed Jimmy Ockford on a short-term loan from San Jose Earthquakes in MLS. So I think it's a good deal for a number of reasons. I think, first of all, we've just seen how much Nashville's defense has struggled without Ken Tribbett. It's been a pretty noticeable drop-off. And although Ken Tribbett looks like he's close to being back, I think it kind of gives Nashville an option without rushing him back, potentially before he's 100% fit. And it just gives them a really good defender who's probably an upgrade on anything they have at the moment. And it also gives Ockford minutes. I don't think he's played for San Jose this season. He's been on the bench two or three times for them, but he hasn't played. So it'll give him a chance to get some minutes and potentially get back into form for them. It's a short-term loan, which I think just... I asked Nashville for a comment, and they wouldn't confirm any more details than that. But I think around the league, if it's for the rest of the season, they would have specified that. So I think we can kind of expect it's going to be more of a couple weeks, a month or two, kind of like we saw with David Edgar last season. So I think he's probably going to go back to San Jose at some point, or at least that's the plan. There could be an option to extend.
So this is a signing purely to help strengthen our USL squad during a period of injury. This is not looking towards the future.
That's what it looks like. I mean, that's what it looks like. Like I said, they could have options to make it longer, but for now, I think that's what we can assume.
Yeah. I mean, if he does perform well, and if, you know, San Jose, because he came into San Jose last year with their new coach, new technical staff, so it could be an instance of, you know, maybe they don't rate him as highly.
But it looks like they had like three or four center backs ahead of them, so I don't think it would be insane for them to consider moving him on.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of talked about this last week in the review that, you know, you're going to need some minimum salary guys that are going to fill out the practice squad. So, I mean, maybe this guy, he impresses a ton. I mean, he did play 11 games last year in MLS, so you never know how this could turn out. It's hard to say a lot without having seen him.
And he played, I think, 31 games for Reno just 2 years ago. So, yeah. I mean, he's definitely a very good USL defender. He was kind of right on the edge of like USL to MLS. So.
I like the sign of the concern about having a good squad. They told us this to begin the season, that they meant to win. You know, they meant to win in USL. This was not just about playing for the future, but playing for this season too. And this is a good sign of that. Can you talk? You saw him practice today. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, so this was before they had officially announced it. But I mean, I was impressed. He was one of the standout players on the field. He played like as a right center back, just in some of the like 11v11 drills they did towards the end of practice. And he was really solid. He was good on the ball, passing out of the back. But he was especially, I thought it was noticeable how good he was in the air. He just was pretty dominant when it came to clearing balls out of the back. So I mean, I think just from the 15 minutes or so I saw of him, I thought he looked good. We'll get a better idea of how he fits on Wednesday.
Yeah. So transitioning and kind of looking back at the weekend, Nashville, we got some rest that we needed. We had 10 days off from our last game, but you know, looking, we were seeing some of the results started coming in. A lot of great. Pretty much all the teams other than Red Bulls dropped points ahead of us. I mean, Red Bulls did drop 8 goals on Atlanta United in that 8-1 win.
They also beat Bethlehem midweek, so they got 6 points out of this week. So they had a pretty good week. But yeah, like you said, everybody else above Nashville or close to them dropped points.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna real quickly run through the list. Hartford Athletic beat Indy 2-1. Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay drew 1-1. Birmingham beat North Carolina FC 1-0. And we can kind of come back with now Chandler Hoffman's out for the season. And then Ottawa and Louisville 1-1 on Sunday. So a lot of great results there. A lot of looking at the standings, Nashville did drop below Louisville. But Louisville's played one more game, and they're only a point back. So, you know, win this game on Wednesday against Memphis, and then play Indy, and we're sitting in a pretty good spot.
I'm just happy we have a truer sense now, because the games played are evening out finally, and so we're getting a truer sense of what that top eight is.
Where I think, fit in there. Just looking at these results, that Hartford win over Indy has to be one of the more surprising results so far this season. I mean, Hartford, they've had moments where they looked pretty good, but even in just the past couple of weeks, I think we kind of started to think that Indy was maybe living up to the hype that everybody had preseason.
Right.
But yeah, that was a big shock. I think it's funny, we were getting, for a while there, Nashville was getting close to pulling even with New York on goals scored, and then New York scored 12 in 2 games and jumped ahead. I think they're at 45 now.
Yeah, I mean, their goal difference is, you know, way, way up there. But I mean,
has anyone hit 8 in this season? Is that, that's kind of be?
I think that's. I don't think anybody had.
No,
in the East. I don't think anybody hit more than
that,
5.
No, New York had scored 7.
Right, yeah.
On Birmingham.
Right.
So they'd scored 15 in 2 games. So, but any other thoughts? Looking from, you know, what happened. Last thing from the weekend is Memphis traveled to Charleston, and that game was abandoned because of weather. So Memphis had to spend the weekend traveling to turn around and come back and not play anything.
Yeah, I think that could be. I mean, we'll preview the. Davey's going to have an interview here in a minute, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Memphis game. But I think that could be a big boost for Nashville. I mean, we kind of saw it with the game in North Carolina, how playing, even just the whole getting to the stadium, having to deal with all the weather delays against New York, I think you could see how that affected Nashville. And I think it would be kind of naive to think that it'll be any different for Memphis, especially when they had to go on the road and deal with all that. So I think it could be a positive for Nashville going into that game.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look. I don't know if that game got it play, if anything kicked off at all, or if it was just, you know, canceled off the bat, if it was a situation like with Red Bull that, you know, we had 2.5 hours of delay, got about 45 minutes in, and then they finally just called it completely. So but I think that's definitely going to affect them in some way. It kind of throws you off your rhythm.
Yeah, they didn't play any of that match. They got to the stadium and started warming up, but it never actually kicked off. So, yeah. But either way, it's still a rough weekend for Memphis.
Any final thoughts on the weekend's games?
Not at all.
I think the Louisville Ottawa draw could be interesting going forward, because those are two teams that have kind of been like just on the edge of a home playoff spot. And I think Louisville, I think both teams looked like they were going to start pushing towards that top tier. And if one of those teams could have pulled away with 3 points, I think it would have been a big win for them.
I mean, looking at the number of points. So I mean, Louisville, while they haven't won, I mean, they haven't lost in their past four. They have only won one of those. But then looking at Ottawa, they've drawn the past two and then lost. So like their win record, they aren't in the best run of form. So, but we'll see how that progresses. And like Soup said, I think we're kind of getting an idea of, you know, where everybody fits in the order.
We didn't mention this game just because it's kind of towards the bottom end of the playoff standings. But Charlotte has snuck up into a playoff spot, pushing St. Louis out. And they actually beat St. Louis 2-1 on the weekend. And I think we saw when Charlotte came to Nashville, they looked like a much better side than their results had been showing. So I think it'll be interesting to see if they can hang on to that bottom playoff spot.
Yeah, but the other thing to keep in mind is St. Louis has played four less games than Charlotte, and they've been focused on the Open Cup. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of bounce back with the Open Cup run over, with them losing this past weekend to Atlanta. And then New Mexico also losing to Minnesota, which that game got out of hand quickly. So after the break, Davey is going to sit down and talk with the guys over at 901 Soccer Pod, and then we are going to come back and then preview the game against Memphis.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your team or group at roughneckscarves.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back into Speedway Soccer. This is Davey Shepherd. You've been listening to Slate, Ben, and Sloop talk about where we're at in the season, our preview for the Memphis 901 game this week. I'm sitting here today in an interview with Scotty Smith, aka Memphis City Smitty, and he is from Memphis 901 Pod. That's Memphis901Pod.com. Scotty, thanks so much for coming on today, man.
Hey man, thanks for having me. It is pouring down rain in the Memphis area, and so we're hoping that the next day and a half clears out so we can finally play a match. We've had three canceled by rain so far, and we don't want to make it a fourth. We want to get this one in Wednesday night, and I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah, we haven't had quite so many cancellations, but it's just been outrageous, the weather this year, man. I mean, not just this year, last year for us as well. So trust us, we get that one 100%. And obviously, I think we've got a pretty good contingent traveling out there tomorrow night, so I'm sure they're hoping it gets in as well. No one wants to drive 6 hours for no reason. So
absolutely.
Listen, why don't you catch us up on your season so far? I have the table in front of me, and I've got Memphis sitting in 14th place with 18 matches played. And on points, you guys are right at 14. So listen, you're within striking distance of a few teams right ahead of you. And for a first-year club that had, you know, some limited payroll, some different things, on the outside looking in, I see you going through the same struggles that other teams go through. But I want to hear your thoughts on that.
So we really had no expectations coming into the season. We were just happy to have pro soccer in Memphis. We were hoping to be in position to kind of be near that last playoff spot at the end of the year. That is still very possible. You know, we thought, well, if we had actually played on Saturday, if we could have managed 3 points out of that situation. We played Charleston very well the first time we played them. If we had, you know, if we'd managed to sneak three there, we would have been in a much better position, being right there at the top of the teams that would, you know, are right on the outside looking in as far as the playoffs go. But look, that stuff, you know, that'll work itself out. We just want to be in striking distance and peaking, playing our best soccer at the end of the season. And, you know, right now we are, you know, quite frank, we'll get to this in a minute. We got kind of our minds on other things with a couple of our supporters that we're raising money for that have unfortunately been cancer patients this season. And, you know, those are kinds of some of the things that we're looking at right now. But as far as the team goes, you take those three games that have been canceled. You take the points that could have happened in some of those matches. We feel actually pretty good about where we are, and just kind of hoping to get some games in this weather so we can maybe start accumulating some of those points and sneak into that bottom of the playoff race, because you never know what can happen once you get to that point. But yep. No expectations. It's crazy. I don't know how you guys felt last year, but we were kind of like, you know what, this first year, you know, the guy who runs our Facebook page, one of my co-hosts on the 901 Soccer Pod, he calls it year zero, because this is just about like establishing a team, establishing a culture. We've had 8,000 fans or more out to the park on three or four different occasions this year.
That's awesome.
And if you had told me that that was going to happen in this basketball town, I would have called you crazy. So that has been, it's been really, really fun just to have a soccer team.
Yeah, that's great. You asked about what it was like here last year. And, you know, I think it was just a totally different scenario. When you know you've only got 2 years in the league and you know that the next year you're going to MLS, I think even for the fans, there was like this level of seriousness that had to be taken on, because it was like, hey, we're an upstart. We've never even done a pro team with the, you know, with the sight of, hey, this is actually going to take it to the MLS, to the MLS level. And so I don't think people could enjoy last year as much, because we felt like, well, man, are these the results we should be getting? Is this roster really that good? And I know we at Speedway fell into that kind of trap as well, that it was, you know, like we were trying to just figure out what the expectations should be, because there is something following immediately after. Whereas you all are establishing this team, like you said, it's really a free year, because it's just setting a culture, getting everything started, and you've got a long life in the same league ahead of you. So you've got that time to buy in, and I think that's great. I think the way you guys are looking at it is super healthy. I think that's a lot of fun, and it lets you maybe just enjoy what is going to be – there's going to be tough results in those first few seasons. There's no way around that. But I think that's interesting, and I think that's a really, really good way of looking at it. But like you said, looking at the table, you guys have a few games in hand on several people who are there ahead of you. So you're absolutely right. You're definitely within striking distance of those of the teams in front of you. And everyone behind you in the table as well has also played more games than you, specifically Hartford, who's played three more games than you. So with the exception of Loudoun in front of you, everyone's played more games. So you're absolutely right. You're fighting for that 10th, 9th to 10th spot. And if you can get, you know, turn those games in hand into points, you're absolutely right. You're right there. And unfortunately for Nashville last year, we kind of were in the same spot, and we kept saying, well, we've got the games in hand. We've got the games in hand, and we squandered them. So hopefully you guys don't do that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about players specifically. I've got Elliot Collier, 5 goals as the leading goal scorer for the team. Has he really been the spark for you guys this year?
You know, it's funny. Collier is a very interesting situation, and I'm really, really glad about what's happening with Collier right now, because he was the fall guy earlier in the season. He did score our first goal. It was a big emotional moment for him, because he had lost a friend in the New Zealand bombing, and very next week, he's from New Zealand. He played with the guy growing up that was killed in the mosque bombing. And he, you know, wrote a big letter to him on USLChampionship.com. It was a big emotional week for him, and he came out and scored the first goal in our history. So that was really, really cool. And then he is a guy who scored a hat trick in his last time out. And, you know, but it's really good to see, because it's kind of like for a while, he was kind of like, hey, what's Collier doing? Is Collier doing anything? You know, why is Collier in there kind of thing? But he's really capitalized on some opportunities lately. And the last goal, which earned him player of the week and goal of the week, I don't know if you saw that last week against Hartford, was a thing of beauty. He takes the ball in his own half, weaves his way through the entire Hartford defense. And then, and I think this is where he was struggling earlier in the year, his finish was so calm. He just gently put it into the corner of the net. And, you know, it was really, really just a good situation for him. So we were really glad to see that. And maybe this is turning a corner for him. He's not freaking out when he gets right in front of goal. He's calmly finishing, and that's a really nice thing to see.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to see, especially with a guy first year with the club. Obviously, it's your first year in existence. It gives people that opportunity to kind of build around a guy, and that's the kind of guy hopefully he can keep turning in performances like that and stick around and kind of become a fixture there at the club. Obviously, yeah. I will say that with the exception of hopefully he does not score tomorrow night against Nashville. You know, it's fun for us because it's a local rivalry. It's here in the same state. You know, we kind of had the same experience, not the same state, but pretty close with Cincinnati last year. What do you guys look forward to from the fan perspective with Nashville? Obviously, we only have a few, just these two season games. But with the Open Cup and stuff like that, what are you guys hoping to see with the Memphis having a pro team and Nashville just being down the road?
Well, here's the beautiful thing about it. You know, I grew up in Henderson, Tennessee, and I don't even know if you've ever heard of that place.
Yeah.
But Henderson, Tennessee is between Memphis and Nashville. And I'm at the batting cages, by the way, so you're probably going to get a lot of pops in the background.
That's all right, man.
You know, I grew up in a Tennessee with no pro soccer. The Rogues had left. Nashville had the Metros for a while, but they weren't pro. And it was kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, if I want to go and see some pro soccer which I loved soccer, I was playing soccer growing up. And I was like, if I want to go see some pro soccer, I've got to leave the state to do that. So just having multiple pro teams in the state and then having, you know, a big, exciting amateur club like Chattanooga Football Club, you know, all across the state of Tennessee now, there are kids who are able to go and watch live pro soccer. To me, that's the most exciting thing. Now, is it a little bit more fun for the fans when you're playing an in-state team like Memphis versus Nashville? Absolutely, that's fun for the fans because it's like, well, you know, we can just drive right down the road. I hope we see you guys in the Open Cup, you know, many times and geographically that makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you guys are in MLS. So I think this is a rivalry that even though we will be playing each other very inconsistently and we never know exactly when that's going to happen, I think it's something that's just kind of fun, especially for the Memphis fans. If we're able to, anytime you beat an MLS team, it's kind of a big deal, right? We saw that this year with St. Louis FC. We saw that this year with New Mexico United. Anytime you beat an MLS team, it's fun. So, of course, we'll be wanting to beat an MLS team. But if it's Nashville, I got to tell you, there'll be just a little bit more hype than usual.
Yeah. You know, I just agree with you so much, and I hope there's so much opportunity there, and that's what I think what makes Open Cup great, right, is those yeah. local rounds at the beginning where even, like, you know, you see some of the amateur teams make a far run and get up there. That's awesome. I mean, we had the team that came – it was Bria last year, and for whatever reason, I can't remember who came this year and played us. You know, those guys played like a really good match against us, and there was really good play. And it's just an awesome opportunity, I think, for fans of teams from different levels of the soccer pyramid here to just see the opportunities of, hey, you know what? Like, the game really is growing. It's expanding, and build those local rivalries, regional rivalries, whatever they might be. I think it's great.
Absolutely.
Listen, so we got a, I think, a good group of people traveling over there Wednesday night. To close it up, why don't you give people one tip, maybe a bar to hit, a restaurant to go to, something before the game starts?
You know what? You could always come and join Bluff City Mafia over at the Brass Door. It's a great little Irish pub. does get very crowded before games. But, you know, if you've got anybody in your group who wants to experience Bill Street, maybe they've never done that before, then that is it is a unique experience either before or after the game. You can also, I mean, there are many, you know, many great barbecue places to eat. You can go and go into Midtown and eat at Central Barbecue. If you're over on Get Well, you got Times Barbecue, you got Jim Neely's Interstate Barbecue, and of course you got the Rendezvous right down beside the stadium. I mean, it couldn't be any closer. You could just walk from the Rendezvous straight to the stadium, and it's right there. So lots of good stuff to do beforehand. If you're staying in town, staying Wednesday night, and want to go hit all the bars downtown on Bill afterwards, then, man, everybody will enjoy themselves immensely. You can't really go wrong there. Lots of live music. And it's just a really, really good time if you haven't ever experienced that. So, you know, you may have folks in your group who've experienced that before. You might have people who have never been to Memphis before, and soccer is what's bringing them to the city. And, man, downtown is just fun. It's just a lot of fun. So we encourage everybody to kind of plan for some time before and after instead of just showing up and going to the games.
Scotty, you're a great ambassador for your city, for your team. Plug your socials for us real quick. Let everybody know where they can find your information.
Well, I can be found at MemCitySmitty on Twitter. And we are across many different social platforms, 901soccerpod.com, 901soccer on Facebook. We are 901soccerpod on Instagram, at 901soccerpod for the main Twitter account. We got some great guys doing work for us. Lawrence Dockery covers all the games for us. Caleb Hilliard does our previews. Alan Davis runs our Facebook page. We got a good group of guys who just love the city, love the sport, and love this club. So just excited to be a part of the conversation, to be honest with you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on, and we'll make sure we keep you in mind for those potential Open Cup matchups in the future. But seriously, thanks for taking the time today. Hey, guys, we got a cool opportunity tomorrow. I am going to be on Midday 180 Wednesday morning, 10:45 a.m. That's 104.5 The Zone on Midday 180. We're going to be talking NSC, talking about the Memphis match ahead of it. So make sure you tune into that. Check it out. It's going to be a cool opportunity. Slape and Ben and Sloop will be back after the break to talk more NSC. We'll be back soon. Stay tuned. This is Speedway Soccer.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an Art Collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Speedway Soccer Pod. Big thanks to everyone over at 901 Soccer for taking the time to talk with Davey. One of the things we do, like we say this all the time, but we love the Beautiful Game Network because it brings us the chance with a lot of different people to talk about so we can, you know, get you guys some perspective of the people that are watching these teams week in and week out. But guys, let's take a look at Memphis. We last played them and beat them 2-0, goals in the 71st and the 85th with LaGrassa and Mensah.
78th and 81st.
78th and 81st, got those numbers transposed. Memphis has, you know, not been great at home, and Nashville's been great on the road. But I think there's a lot of things to be positive about. What do you think?
I mean, it's hard to take a ton from that. The first match, just because that was back in April, but I mean Nashville was pretty dominant. They outshot them 21-7, and I think it was one of those games that if Nashville had finished a little bit better, it probably should have finished more than 2-0. But I mean, look, I know it's I guess it's a rivalry. It feels a little bit weird saying that when they've only played once before. But I think Memphis is going to want to... I mean, they put out the billboard before they even played, so obviously Memphis takes it seriously. And they're going to want to put in a good showing at home. But I think just on paper and in terms of talent, Nashville should be significantly better than Memphis. Which, of course, saying that probably is going to jinx it. But
yeah, but I always feel like everything is going to jinx. I feel okay about this game. I feel like we've got a good... I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you think the lineup might be.
We know that Matt LaGrassa and Cameron Lancaster won't be available. Gary Smith confirmed that at training today. And then I would imagine Daniel Rios would start. I don't know about Tribbett or Reed. But it feels like there are more options at center back and in midfield at the moment than there are up top. So I would imagine it would be Daniel Rios up top. And you'd think that if they go with a back five or if they go potentially like a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, either way, you'd be able to get a decent amount of service to Rios from out wide.
Do you think will we see our new lone player, Oakford, play?
I would imagine so. Yeah, I mean he's been in training with him for a little while. In the announcement they say that he would be available.
It'd be interesting to see. You know, Vermeer's back as well.
Yep.
So it'll depend on where Reed is at from a health wise. I mean, I think we can guarantee that Akinyode is going to start because we know he's the only for sure fit midfielder aside from Vermeer, who's just getting back to the team. I would like to. We've seen Belmar kind of drop off to the side these past couple weeks. I would like to see him get some more time, get back out there. I think he provides a lot of opportunity out wide, and if Gary decides he wants to play a 4-4-2, we do have that option of him playing up top with Rios.
From Gary's comments after practice, I think he's going to take a more conservative approach with bringing guys back from injury, so I'm not sure that he's going to rush Reed or Tribbett into the lineup. But he talked about wanting to get everybody fully fit for the game at Nissan against Indy, which is I think 10 days after the match against Memphis. So I think he'll probably be a little bit more conservative, and I don't think he's underestimating Memphis, but I think there is just a element of realism, just being able to rest some guys for the next match and still be able to get a result.
No, yeah, it's great. The pacing right now of our games is really great for us.
And he said that it was a bit frustrating that they don't have a game. He said the break before the Memphis game was nice, and it's a little bit frustrating that they have another break after. He said ideally they'd have a game that weekend just to kind of keep their form and their rhythm going. But they will have another 10-day break to get guys fully fit again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice, especially if, Nashville does go out and beat Memphis or play really well, to be able to get back in the rhythm and go straight into it against a team this weekend. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. But I think with some of our guys still coming back from injury, it's going to give us a great chance to, continue to get some guys healthy and, hopefully come out against Indy. Not only is it a game against Indy, which is from when we talked about the beginning of the season, where everybody sits and where we kind of thought that, both of us would be kind of vying for the top of the Eastern Conference, which, I mean, there's still half a season left to play, so that's very much the possibility. But it's going to be our first game at Nissan for the year, and I think it's going to be, I know they've kind of been pushing getting people to sign up for MLS tickets early. You get to sit in your seats where you're going to sit for MLS, so it's kind of like they're calling it an MLS preview. So I think having everybody 100% fit and 100% healthy, being able to put on the best show, the two games at Nissan last year were both draws, and I mean, it would be great to go out and get a win against them. Any final thoughts against Memphis? For your game against Memphis?
I mean, I think it's... We've just... With how good Nashville has been on the road, I think we should expect to see them win. It might not be a major win, but I think with the preparation they've had and just with, I think, the talent differential between the two teams. I think Nashville should get a win.
While we're talking about this, I don't want to belabor this too long, but what do you think it is that makes a team good on the road? I mean, what is the mindset that does that? It's an odd, right? It's odd when you have a team that's really good on the road. And Nashville at home hasn't been anything spectacular. We've not been bad, but right?
I mean, I just think it's the ability. I think Gary spends a lot of time and he's able to prep for a team well. And not to say that's different between home or away. I think maybe when we're playing away from home, he takes a little bit more of a conservative approach. But, I mean, we're winning games away from home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think we could probably agree that we've been a bit more attacking.
Well, I think he said a couple of times that he feels on the road, when you're playing on the road, the home team is going to try to control the ball and dictate and be a little bit more aggressive. And he said that that just leaves a bunch of space in behind, and Nashville's able to counter.
Right.
And at home, you're kind of the one. Tasked with controlling the ball and kind of dictating the game. And he said when other teams come to First Tennessee Park, they play a little bit more conservatively and are harder to break down.
Right, so it really have to do with your relative strengths.
And he's also just said at home, there have been, I mean, and I think we've said this too, that there are just consistent periods where Nashville is controlling the game and creating chances, and they just haven't finished those chances for whatever reason. They'll have a 10 or 15 minute stretch where they could score two or three and don't finish those. So I think it's a bit of tactics and a bit of just poor finishing.
Last note on this is the team is hosting a watch party on Wednesday at the Downtown Sporting Club. So if you guys, anybody's interested in going out and watching that, they do have some stuff going on. And then also looking at what Speedway has throughout the week. Sloop, I know you have a piece coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I want to talk about this really, really quickly. So last year on the podcast, some people might remember we did a special episode where we interviewed the representatives of some of the four supporters groups. And one of the questions I didn't get a really clear answer on then, and I've still been asking, is the assembly seemed so closely aligned with the roadies, I didn't understand exactly what was their difference, what was their different motivation, et cetera. And since this year I'd written a piece on Stephen Robinson, who's capo, sort of an unofficial capo for the roadies, I thought it was a good time to revisit and talk to some folks at the assembly about how they see their project being different, what they see themselves doing, what they'd like to see in the future. And so talk to Brandon Rochelle, who's on the board of the assembly, and I'll be reporting and talking about that.
Sounds great. Ben, anything coming out other than our normal ratings, like chalkboard, those kinds of things?
Yeah, no, we had...
Wait a minute, don't make that sound so mundane. Great chalkboard.
No, I think we've all talked about how much we enjoy the chalkboard.
Yeah. With being on vacation last week, I kind of got a little bit off track with that, but I'll have one up for the Memphis game, and then we'll have our normal preview, recap, player ratings, all that fun stuff.
And last thing, everyone should tweet Davey and ask when his next iteration of Three Things I Love and Three Things I Hate
coming. See if you can get a straight answer. He's told us about three or four different things. And
one of the things I hate is waiting for Davey's list. That's one of my...
We should write it for you.
Things I love are not having to read Davey on a weekly basis, though. So it's a love-hate relationship. Well, guys, well, thanks for sticking around with us. We'll be back next week, and we're going to do a recap and review of the Memphis game and preview the game against Indianapolis. So be on the lookout for those coming next week. And then, as always, we're proud to be a part of the Beautiful Game Network and 104.5 The Zone, along with Roughneck Scarves, your home for all USL, MLS, and U.S. soccer scarves, along with any custom scarves you may want, and Golden Goal Press. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.